I think one of the books that has most impressed many, many people is that of Pilgrim's Progress, as John Bunyan takes these characters and tells us very unique spiritual truths through these characters. And as we read Pilgrim's Progress, we come to the place where Pilgrim is carrying this heavy burden and he's loaded down, and especially if the volume that we have has pictures in it, you see this little man with this great big sack on his back and struggling along. And one of the most exciting times, I think, in the entire story is when Pilgrim loses his burden and that great big sack is gone. And Pilgrim's Progress is called an allegory. It's a story that teaches spiritual truth. Now, God uses allegories in Scripture. The difference is that Pilgrim's characters never really lived. But in God's Word, the people of God's, the stories here in God's Word, the histories in God's Word, actually lived. And these are true accounts. Nevertheless, God in His marvelous sovereignty has so arranged the details of these men, of God, of years gone by, that they also serve as an allegory to teach us spiritual truth. This is what we see in Genesis chapter 21, where we have the story of the birth of Isaac. Now, Isaac was a real person. He really lived. He was really born. And we have historical facts here in this chapter. It is a true story. Nevertheless, we have in the life of Isaac spiritual truths that are taught that God planned in a special way in order that we might learn these things. And so the details regarding the birth of Isaac, as we read here in the Word of God, are meant to teach us spiritual truths. And in this birth of Isaac, we learn about the spiritual birth that we even can enjoy today. And so Genesis chapter 21 regarding spiritual birth. And as we look through this, see if you can notice some of the characteristics here of spiritual birth. Genesis chapter 21, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, 'God has made me to laugh, so that all who hear will laugh with me.' She also said, 'Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age.' So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Therefore she said to Abraham, 'Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac.' And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. But God said to Abraham, 'Do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman because he is your seed.' So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water in the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Then she went and sat down across from him at a distance, about a bow shot. For she said to herself, 'Let me not see the death of the boy.' So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of the Lord called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, "What ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation." And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. Then she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham, saying, "God is with you in all that you do. Now therefore swear to me by God that you will not deal falsely with me, with my offspring, or with my posterity, but that according to the kindness that I have done to you, you will do to me and to the land in which you have sojourned." And Abraham said, "I will swear." Then Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had seized. And Abimelech said, "I do not know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, nor had I heard of it until today." So Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech asked Abraham, "What is the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs which you have set by themselves?" And he said, "You will take these 7 ewe lambs from my hand, that they may be my witness that I have dug this well." Therefore he called that place Beersheba, because the two of them swore an oath there. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. So Abimelech rose with Phicol, the commander of his army, and they returned to the land of the Philistines. Then Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the land of the Philistines many days. Father, we thank you at this time for your word and pray that you would bless it to our hearts this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this portion of Scripture, we see 3 things regarding spiritual birth. The first thing we see is found in verses 1 through 7, and we see that spiritual birth is miraculous. Isaac here in this portion of Scripture had a miraculous birth. We read that Abraham at this time was 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old. And in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 11, we are told very specifically that Abraham and Sarah were both old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. And so we see very clearly that it was humanly impossible, physically impossible for Sarah to have children at this time. Now, God had told Abraham and Sarah at least 25 years ago, and perhaps even more than that, that they would be the parents of a great nation, that God would use Abraham to be the father of a great nation, and that seed would come through Sarah. And in spite of the great delay, at least 25 years and possibly many more years than that, we find that God here did fulfill his promise. And it's exciting the way this is put in the first verses of Genesis chapter 21. "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said." And the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. Isn't that clear and distinct and definite how God here is just emphasizing the fact that he is fulfilling his word, his promise in this matter? And I thought, why all these years of delay? God promised Abraham that he would have a son, and then year after year went by and no son, until finally he is 100 and she is 90, and he finally gives him the son that he had promised. Why this delay? Well, if there hadn't been a delay, there wouldn't have been a miracle. For Sarah to have had a son way back when God first made the promise, it wouldn't have been a miracle. And so there had to be the delay in order that there might be the miracle. Now that helps. You know, while I was sitting there at typing this message up, had all my notes all over the place, and I was sitting there typing away, and as I was typing, without the delay, there would not have been a miracle. And then I had to confess that I don't like delays. How many of you like delays? You just love it when nothing happens. That's what we're at right now with the Fuller House, you know. It seems like nothing is happening. And we say, Lord, why this delay? God says, without the delay, there can't be the miracle. That ought to help us a little bit to like delays if we can just remember what God is doing. I have to confess, I don't know about you, maybe you don't have this problem, but I have to confess that I think most of the time my flesh would gladly give up the miracle if I could avoid the delay. Do you have that problem? Now, not afterwards. Afterwards, when you have the miracle, here you have Sarah's laughing and Abraham is laughing. Everybody's joyous and saying, praise God, he did it. Not then, but way back when it first starts, you say, Lord, why can't you do it now? But God says, no delay, no miracle. And so, Isaiah 28:16, he that believes shall not make haste. Because God has his perfect timing, and in that timing come all of his glorious miracles. And so here we have the birth of Isaac, a miracle birth, a miracle baby. And this is a picture of spiritual birth, because spiritual birth is a miracle. And in Genesis chapter 17, verses 18 and 19, back just a few pages, chapter 17, verses 18 and 19, and Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. And God says, no, Abraham, the real seed has to be a miracle seed. And those who are going to be in reality the seed of Abraham must all experience a miraculous birth. Now that's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, as Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said, Master, we know that you're from God. And Jesus said, just a minute, Nicodemus, you have to be born again. Nicodemus says, what do you mean, born again, born from above, born anew? Jesus said, you have to be born spiritually, Nicodemus. Nicodemus says, I don't understand. Jesus said, how come you don't understand? It's right here. It's in your Bible. It's in your Old Testament, Nicodemus. How can you be a master of Israel, a master of the Word of God? You're supposed to be a teacher of the Word of God. You don't understand that the seed of Abraham are those who have experienced a miraculous birth? See, the Jews thought all they needed was just the physical birth. We are the seed of Abraham. Jesus said, no. The seed of Abraham all have experienced a miracle birth. The spiritual birth, born of the Spirit of God. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. John 3:3, except a man be born again, born of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You have to be born again. Don't marvel. Don't be surprised. Said Jesus, that I say to you, you must be born again. Because all the real seed of Abraham have a miracle birth. And so Isaac was a miracle baby because he was a picture of the miracle birth that everyone who is the true son of Abraham must experience. Now, when you see a little baby, you look at that little bundle and you say, what a miracle. What a miracle. And that's a picture of the miracle of spiritual birth. And we say, once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was dead, now I'm alive. And Sarah here says in chapter 21, verse 6, God has made me to laugh. And that's the way it is when you're born again. That joy fills your heart, and you say, God has made me to laugh. Now I know what it really means to have peace and joy in my heart. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. Be born again, because the real sons of Abraham have experienced a miracle birth. And the miracle birth of Isaac is a picture, an allegory, of the spiritual truth of the new birth. And so spiritual birth is miraculous. You can't do it yourself. You can't make it happen yourself. It's a miracle that comes in response to faith in God. And so spiritual birth is a miracle. Secondly, spiritual birth is maligned. It's not only miraculous, but it is maligned. And in verses 8 through 21, we see this happen. And at the special feast that they are having for Isaac as he has been weaned, we see that Ishmael, the son of the bondwoman, standing by there mocking at this miracle child. And this still happens today. The mocking at those who are born again, those who have spiritual birth, are mocked at by those who do not know the Savior, those who only have the physical birth. Ishmael here, the chronology in these parts is not a very simple matter, but it seems as though Ishmael at this time would have been possibly about 16 years of age. And you have to remember that Ishmael had been the center of attention for probably about 16 years. And now all of a sudden somebody else comes on the scene who takes the attention. Now, parents realize that when you have a new child come into the family, a new birth, that you have to prepare the other children so that they will recognize that they are going to lose a little bit of the preeminence, that somebody else here is going to take up some of the time that mommy and daddy otherwise gave to them. And so also here we have 16 years of center of attention. A real bond that was made here between Abraham and Ishmael. And all of a sudden we have someone else come on the scene, and Ishmael here makes fun of Isaac, and he taunts him and scoffs at him and mocks him. And senses that insecurity because of the arrival of this new child. In verse 11, we see that when Abraham is told he must send Ishmael away, this was very difficult for Abraham because there had been a real bond built up between them. We don't know all of the reasons of Ishmael's taunting of Isaac. Some of it could have been the sense of being displaced as far as affection goes. Some of it could have been also the matter of the inheritance. that he would be getting double over what Isaac would be getting. But at any rate, we see him taunting here and scoffing and mocking. But this is more than just the picture of a family squabble, because God here is teaching a spiritual truth. And the older son here, despising the younger son, is actually the carnal son, the son of the flesh, that is despising and mocking the spiritual son, the one who is miraculously born. And so this is a picture of the works of the flesh and the results of the works of the flesh. And Paul explains this to us in the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 21 to 31, Paul gives us a little explanation of Genesis chapter 21. Here's Paul's sermon on Genesis 21 in Galatians chapter 4 and beginning in verse 21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman, the other by the free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. Which things are symbolic, for these are the two covenants, one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, O barren, and ye who did not bear, break forth and shout, you who did not travail. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh, then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And so Paul says here, this whole story in Genesis chapter 21 is a picture of the spiritual birth and the natural birth. We are born naturally into the family of our parents, a physical birth. But we must also be born spiritually, a spiritual birth, a miracle birth, if we are to be a part of the family of God. And so Paul says this is what is pictured in Genesis chapter 21. Now it's interesting that we hear nothing about Ishmael until Isaac is born. Now that's true also in our lives, isn't it? We are not conscious of the works of the flesh until we are born again. And once we are born again, then we begin to see all the works of the flesh that are in us. The flesh begins to torment us and mock us and seek to displace us after we are born of the Spirit. And so also here, this mocking of Ishmael began when Isaac was born. The mocking was related probably to the birthright, because, for example, in verse 10, Sarah refers to Ishmael not being heir with my son. So she's talking about the birthright. Verse 12 also, we read that God refers to the birthright and says that in Isaac shall your seed be called. And so Satan here then, through Ishmael, is mocking the birthright of the Christian because it separates us from his kingdom. And so God told Abraham here to deal firmly with Ishmael and that he must be sent away. There must be no possibility of the birthright being confused. There must be no possible mix-up here about the child of the flesh in any way inheriting the promises of Abraham. And so Ishmael must be sent away, because those who are of the flesh cannot inherit the things of the Spirit of God, of the kingdom of God, and they cannot inherit with the people of God. There shall be none of those who are only born of the flesh in the kingdom of God, because you must be born again. And so here we have a picture of how important it is to firmly deal with the flesh. This was hard for Abraham to send Ishmael away, but God says you have to do this because this is a picture. You have to deal firmly with the flesh. And Paul says, I buffet my body and I keep it under, because it's so important, if we are to triumph in the Spirit, that we deal firmly with the flesh. Some have said as they read the story, well, this is a cruel thing for Abraham to do, to send Ishmael away like this. But God says this is what must be done. Sometimes we think, oh, we can't be cruel on our flesh. God says we must be hard on our flesh. And it wasn't that Ishmael and Hagar were not properly taken care of, because God himself said in verse 13 that he would bless Ishmael and he would take care of him. In verse 14, we see that Abraham gave provisions for them. And verses 14 through 16, we find that she did get lost. And in the process of getting lost out there and not arriving at the destination that Abraham had for them, she began to want, but God watched over them again and he provided for them. And we read that God gave material blessings to Ishmael. In spite of the fact that he was not of faith and he was of the flesh, God provided for him and met his needs. And so we see then that spiritual birth is first of all miraculous, second of all it's maligned, and thirdly, spiritual birth is merciful. And we see how Abraham did properly take care of Ishmael and Hagar and performed the duties toward them that he should have performed. And this is what we find then in the third section of this chapter, verses 22 to 34. Now, as I read this chapter, came to this final section, the question came to my mind, what is the purpose of this portion? Why does God put this paragraph here in the Bible at all? What was the reason for this? Abimelech comes and requests a renewed covenant with Abraham. Why? I just couldn't see what this portion had to do with the entire story. And as I read through a few commentaries, I found out that some of the commentators felt the same way. Some of them skipped the portion. They didn't even comment on it. What was the purpose of this? And here we have Abimelech coming and says, I want to make a new covenant with you, Abraham. Why? What had happened in the meantime? It must be more than just an interesting story. Then some of the commentators said, we believe that this refers to Abraham's protection of Ishmael from the Philistines. I said, well, now that makes sense. You see, why did Abimelech want a new covenant with Abraham? It was because Abimelech saw another new family sprouting up that he thought might someday become a problem to him. There were new residents nearby that were of a concern to Abimelech. And it looks like the servants of Abimelech had run into some problems with these new residents, and in trying to chase them off, took away their well of water. You see, Abimelech's servants wouldn't have dared take away Abraham's well. Abraham was too rich and powerful and influential. They would have been very careful about that. But they would have desired and felt capable of taking a well away from Ishmael and Hagar and probably the band of servants that they had established there. They would have felt free to do that and to move them on. But the problem is, Abraham was still concerned about Ishmael and his needs and his protection. And as Abimelech came, recognizing that there was a new family growing up here, he came to Abraham, let's renew our covenant because I don't want you to make a covenant with this other nation that is beginning. I want you to make a covenant with me so that I'm not going to have a problem. Abraham said, no problem, we'll make a covenant. But there is something I do have a problem about, and that's you have taken the well away from Ishmael. You have taken a well away from me. You see, it was Abraham's well. And that's where he had sent Hagar, because he knew that that was a good place where they could dwell and they would have the proper water and be provided for. And so Abraham had taken good care of them. But then the Philistines came and took that well away, and Abraham said, no, you restore that. That's my well. You took it away from Ishmael. That's my well. And that's when Abimelech became concerned. He said, I didn't know anything about that. I didn't, until you mentioned it now, I didn't know anything about that. Sure, that's no problem. We'll give it back to you. And God was taking proper care of Ishmael at this time. And so Abraham then planted a tree there as a testimony, and he gave Abimelech seven ewes as a testimony that this was Abraham's well, and this was there for Ishmael to use, and nobody should take it away from him. And then later we read that Ishmael moved further down to Paran, which would be closer to Sinai, also a picture of his being of Sinai, of the law. And so although we cannot have fellowship with the unsaved in the same way that we have fellowship with the saints, because God says, send them away, lest the inheritance be marred, still, God causes his rain to shine on the his rain to fall and his sun to shine on the just and on the unjust. God provides for all men, and God expects us as well. Although we are born again, we are still merciful toward relatives, family, friends, neighbors, because our desire is to seek to win them to the Lord. And so we don't cut off unsaved relatives, friends, family. We seek to minister to them and to win them to the Lord. Now, they might cut themselves off from us. That's possible if we're faithful in witnessing to them, but we seek to maintain the contact and to witness to them that they might come to know the Lord. And so we see here Abraham faithfully taking care of Hagar and Ishmael as his responsibility, in spite of the fact that he had to separate himself from them in order that the biblical truth there might stand out, that there can be no inheritance of Abraham for those who are only the seed of the flesh. And so we maintain contact with those that are not saved in order that we might win them to the Lord. And this week, there might be those that you know that are not saved that you could invite next week for the film and to see the testimony of the believers in Russia. God might use that to speak to their hearts and bring them to a knowledge of Christ. And so spiritual birth is a miracle, and it puts us in a whole new family. And that old family then will mock us, make fun of us, and we seek to continue to win them, but we continue also to recognize that there is a difference and that we will not be a part of the family of the flesh as God has brought us into His family of the Spirit. Are you in that family tonight? Are you in the family of God? Have you been born again by the Spirit of God? Are you a child of Abraham? Are you a son of Abraham? Not according to the flesh. Are you a son of Abraham by spiritual birth? Father, we thank you for the miracle of the birth of Isaac. And we feel with Abraham and Sarah the years and years and years of delay. And yet, when that birth took place, they rejoiced. They shouted for joy because of the miracle that you performed. And so we pray also that you would enable us to trust you, recognizing that you are still performing miracles today as we are willing to trust you and wait upon you. And then for any that do not know the Savior this evening, we pray that no one will be content just to have been born once, but that they will desire by your grace that new birth, that second birth, whereby they come into the family of God through faith in Christ. We pray in His name. Amen.